discretion is advised.
Two, one, go!
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. I would like, I like to talk about driving and parking and gas stations and all things that have to do with the automobile in this fair city of ours. I would like, as I was screaming about last week, I want us to sort of take our streets back from the a-hole foreigners who seem to have taken over every facet of automotive, whether it be the guy who drives the tow truck, who won't listen to you, to the guy at the 76 station. To the parking lot guy. There's a couple of things.
It's not
couple
that they're
things.
Foreigners.
That
is that
they are.
They're in customer service, and they're not exactly at your service.
That's right. No. I don't want to sound like a xenophobe here. Foreigners aren't bad folks, but they're sort of literalist. You tell them nobody gets in after this hour, you have to round up, or you can't do this, and they stick to the plan. Mm. They don't want to get fired, and they don't need to worry about the nuance of
good
life.
Employees.
Maybe
they can't assess the culture.
Most of them are assholes. Mm. I mean, most of the guys at like 76 station and those guys, they're angry men.
Stay away from that tonight.
Well, listen, I don't know what to say.
You do. That's the problem. I keep going.
No, listen to me.
No, don't go to the gas station thing, right?
I'm getting away from the gas station. Okay. All right, but here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If 100% of the guys are angry foreigners, what am I supposed to call them?
Angry foreigners.
Okay, thank you.
But I was just pointing out, it's not that they were foreigners. It was that they were people who were...
I don't know how much it weighs into the whole equation.
Wouldn't you bet? I don't want to go
Here's
too far
what I can say. What I can say. I can say white people can be mean and a-holes, too. Mm-hmm. I experience them every day.
Yeah.
So can foreigners.
But don't you think that one of the reasons what you're complaining about is you're dealing with people who may not be able to assess nuance because they're new to the culture?
Yes.
You know, that's part of the problem.
And don't care to attempt to assess the nuance. Yeah, whatever it is. I don't know what... Right. There's multiple reasons. Not all of them are being bad people.
Right, okay.
There's just reasons they come across the way they come across.
Not all of them that good.
Right. Most.
Okay.
80-90%.
Okay.
So, but that's not my point. Now I'm on to the parking.
Oh.
On to the parking, guys. Now, there's this new thing in L.A. where it used to be you could park and then get out of your car like an adult and pay.
Oh.
Now you got to pay before you park.
Yeah.
And I was doing Conway and Steckler over here, and I was parking over at the radio station, which is an empty parking lot because it's a business, and it's at 8 o'clock at night, and there's no cars in the place. And there's the little gate, and the guy comes out of the tower. And I'm going to park in the closest spot to where we are, which is about 18 feet from where we are in the well-lit thing. And he says $2.50. And I drive a sports car, and I sit a little low. And I got my wallet up my ass where it belongs. And I said, instead of me digging the wallet out, let me just park the car, get this wallet in my back pocket. He said, no, $2.50 now. I said, really? Not going to let me just park the car, get up out of the car, and then get the wallet out of my... I got the cargo pants with the flap on the pocket, and it's buttoned. Really going to do a lot of digging. I got the serious bucket seats.
I've seen you
do a lot of digging to get the wallet out of there.
I've seen you building to this conflict. You've been trying to evoke someone into this one.
No, I've done this before.
Oh, okay.
I did before.
Yeah.
I had it in Hollywood when we did the San Gennaro feast. The guy said $10, and I said, okay. Let me just get out of my car. And he said, no, $10 now. And I said, I'll park right here and I'll get out of my car and I'll give you the $10. He said, nope, $10 now. And I said, nope, asshole. I'm going across the street. And he said, okay, don't worry about it. And I said, F you. And I drove across the street and parked. But this is the kind of civil disobedience that I want. So anyway, the guy said, give me the $2.50. And I said, just let me park my car and I'll get out of the car and I'll give you my wallet. And he said, no, $2.50, and I told him to blow me. And I just turned around and parked on the street. But this is what I want. It's not okay to give him the $2.50. It's not okay for an adult who drives an expensive car who's in the middle. But by the way, give me a worst-case scenario. Leave my car and start running and laughing like a madman while he has my $40,000 car? Or I throw the keys at him and yell, you lose, Poncho, and then start screaming and running? What do I do? Yeah. He lets me in. I drive in a circle for an hour. Yeah. What is the worst case scenario that could happen to him letting me in?
Exactly.
Where am I going?
Yep.
I'm leaving my car. There's not another soul in the place. Here's all I'm saying for everybody. Please, everyone, wherever you are, wherever you go, it's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
To call tell the guy, hey, you know, be polite the first time. Say, all right, you know, I'm sitting on my wallet. Would you mind if I got out of my car? If he says no, ask him one more time. Third time, call him an a-hole and don't park there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all do that with everything.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
That's a good idea.
Please do this, everybody. Now, you wouldn't do this, Drew.
I'm not as good at it as you. Oh, I mean, I wouldn't treat you like that?
No, you wouldn't abuse the parking guy.
It's harder for me to do it.
Why?
I'm not as good at it as you are.
What's going to be good? You, the guy won't trust you to get out of your goddamn car and get your wallet out of your effing pocket.
Yeah, strangely, I would come out looking like an ass.
Really?
Yeah.
Would you feel bad?
Yeah, a little bit.
You feel bad if you call the guy an a-hole?
Yeah.
Really?
His job. Yeah.
Yeah, but screw him if he can't figure out what's right, what's wrong.
I agree with you, and I've seen you execute it. You're brilliant. Well done.
Listen, all of these guys need abuse.
Yeah, yeah.
All of them.
Well, the same way, I noticed.
The guy who says you can't leave. Oh, Drew with his pager, everybody. You're saved by the bell.
Unacceptable.
Laurel?
Yeah?
You're 36?
Yes. Am I the oldest person that's ever called this show?
No.
Not hardly.
Okay. That's good. But my name's Cheryl. It's not Laurel.
All right, listen. The bloom is off the robes.
Yeah, whatever.
So what do you want?
All right. I've been seeing a married guy.
Mm-hmm.
And at first it was, you know, I thought it was just understood. We were just having sex. I mean, I didn't want anything from him. I didn't think he wanted anything from me. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spent one pretty incredible evening together.
Yeah, you wanted something from him, please.
Well, that's what he keeps saying. We had this one night together, and then after that it was like, oh, we have to talk about our relationship and something's going on. And
what happened that night? What was so special about that night?
Anal.
Oh.
Well, I had 7 orgasms, and that's never happened to me before, ever.
She said 8, and she said 6.
But never 7.
Never 7.
Never 7, no.
Mm-hmm.
And it was incredible. It just, you know, and I think he had a good time, too. And... you know, I don't know. I mean, there was nothing that was said.
All right. So now what?
Well, now, so anyway, he kept wanting to talk about the relationship and blah, 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 blah. So finally I just said, okay, I love you. I don't want anything from you. I don't want to, you know, mess up your life, but I do love you. Ever since then.
Is that true?
Well, yeah, I do.
Okay.
I really, truly don't want anything from him.
Did you have a bad breakup or horrible relationship or something one time?
Oh, always.
Yeah, okay. So this guy, he needs to remain unavailable, because the moment that you actually have a real relationship with him, it's too threatening. Right?
Really?
Well, of course. You're in control now, right? You can control the distance and the intimacy, and he's never really going to be in with you because he's always got his wife, and that's fine. So you don't have to risk being in a real relationship. You don't have to risk all the catastrophe. And fact is, judging by the way you're behaving, this guy probably is a good guy and not the kind of abuser that you've been used to being with.
He's kind of
a prick. I'll get you wrong. Don't get me wrong. He's kind of a prick. Compared to the other guys.
Great guy. Kind of a prick.
But
he really is a great guy.
Yeah, and the fact that she can't handle being with him is what tips me off that he's probably a decent guy. Why he's with screwing around with his wife. He's not an abuser.
Yeah.
Not an abuser.
Now, I said that. We haven't seen each other in person. He still calls me and we still email and stuff, but we haven't seen each other in person.
Why?
I think he wants to take himself away from me.
All right.
Oh, he's afraid. Now he's afraid because you said I love you?
No, I think he's afraid that I am going to fall for him and get hurt.
Yeah. Mm. Yes. Exactly what Drew just said.
Because he helped me through. I did have a really bad breakup recently, and he helped me through it. It started off the
I know, but you said I love you, and
that scared him off.
That scared him off.
Well, yeah. It's,
yes.
Yeah,
it's,
all right. Yeah. 36.
That's the part I was about to say. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at people who have been on the planet for 36 years and just have zero understanding of people. Most importantly, themselves,
the
bearings, don't know what's going on. I'm not sure if I'm on the radio. I guess I hear the F word all the time. What goes on? All right, let me yell at her very quickly. Listen, Laurel.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you've not been able to have good relationships in your life, but that doesn't mean you got to get caught up with a string of unavailable guys. I'd suggest no relationship for a period of time. Get a little therapy. Get your crap together. Do a little yoga. Listen to some classical music. Get into your career. Whatever it is. Do that chick thing. Get a vibrator.
What's your
find
question?
You.
What's your question? All right.
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm 36 years old.
Yeah.
You know what it's like to be a 36-year-old woman?
Oh, Adam does.
Your hormones are raging. I have to have...
I said get a vibrator.
No, that doesn't...
Oh, God, she is nutty.
Dude, the vibrator does not cut it.
All right, what do you do for a living?
I can't say. I'm known in the community.
You're known in the community. Yeah, for pushing a shopping cart around and dragging a bag of your fecal matter.
Oh, come on, let's find out what she does.
No, she's known in the community. she's a crossing guard.
Get a basic.
Known in the community.
Laurel, what kind of work do you do?
I can't say that either. I'll give it away.
Are you in government?
No.
Are you in healthcare?
I'm not doing 20 questions with the screwball Laurel.
All right.
Like you're horny. Find some 20-year-old guy to hump.
Yeah, that's probably what she should do.
Don't have any kids.
That's probably what she should do. A 20-year-old guy's just right.
That's right. Dave?
Yes?
Oh, she sounded so nutty. You're 20. What's up, Dave?
Been with my girlfriend now for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
She's 22.
Mm-hmm.
She's just graduated college.
Mm-hmm.
And she's ready to get married.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You've been with her how long?
Yeah.
5 years.
5 years.
Are you surprised after 5 years she'd want to get married?
Well, he's 20.
Yeah,
she's 22.
Yeah, well, 22. I mean,
5 year relationship. What do you think she's hanging around for?
Marriage.
All right. Well, there you go.
Well, but it still doesn't mean that they couldn't get married at 25.
Yeah, she declared her major,
chicks ain't going to do that.
Yeah, she's declared her major, and she's saying, ask her, get off the pot.
Right.
And be honest. You're not ready to get married. That's all right. You don't have to get married.
All right.
But to string her along with the expectation that you're going to.
Yeah.
You may not be ready till you're 30, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, whatever it is, you got to give her an idea.
Well,
what your
are you in
like.
Love?
I don't know. Like,
I see.
Yeah. I want to move away right now.
From her?
I want to go to Maui.
Oh.
That's
all right.
What I'm calling.
Well, break up.
Break up and go to Maui?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Because, like,
the fact that you're thinking that way means you need to break up
Dave,
with her.
Dave, you've been with her since you were 15, right? Yeah. You want to surf. You want to experience other women, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you need to be free and wander around for about 10 years.
And he wants to smoke a lot of pot.
You want to smoke a lot of pot and surf in Maui. Work on a sprout farm, right? What are you going to do in Maui?
I got some friends out there. Got a place to live, surf. That's all I want to do. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You gonna work?
Yeah, of course.
Where do you work?
Whatever I can find.
All right.
Right now, I'm boxing porn.
All right.
Boxing porn?
Yeah.
Is it kickboxing or just straight Marcus of Queensberry?
Yep. Just, it's all kinds.
What the pot does.
Yeah, Dave has got to stay with, like,
makes you sharp.
Bagging instead of boxing. That'll be good for him.
Yeah.
Grocery bagging.
Boxing porn. Dave is in no condition to get married.
Mm-mm.
No. His mental state.
No.
He's not fit to be married.
No.
He's not even fit to be tied. He needs to go to Maui and kill some brain cells and bang around for a while, play some hacky sack and surf. See, Drew, I've told you this many times. This is what's wrong with surfing. You talk about drugs sort of taking over your life. You live for these drugs, addictions.
There's surfing and skiing versions of this, too. There's literature out there. There's medical literature on people who get consumed by a lifestyle.
Yeah, you get...
They prepare for it all year, and then there's the season.
Right.
That's all they do.
And surfing, not even so much a season. I mean, if you go to Maui, just surf all the time. And what happens is just like heroin or speed, your life just supports whatever this preoccupation
is. There's a certain social life around it. There's certain drug and alcohol use patterns.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you can't get anything done because... You can't go to school, you can't get a degree, you can't build a career for yourself. The only thing you can do is work sort of menial jobs to support your surfing habit. And then the next thing you blink your eyes and you're like 33. And
now what?
I Everyone I know is into surfing. This is what happened.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Yep. And then all I can do is think about when the next swell's coming in, when the next one's the next time. It's really, it's a replace heroin with surfboards, and that's it. It's the yeah. same thing.
Yeah, it's
a, I mean, you know, it's a little healthier. I'll give him that. Nate?
Yeah.
You're 24?
I am.
You work
How's
in
it
a
going, guys?
Good. You work in a porn shop?
I do. I've worked there for about 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And I think...
3 years?
Yeah.
That's a pretty long haul. In a porn shop, because they usually have pretty quick turnover, those places.
That's a career.
Well, it started off as just kind of like a little summer job to kind of get me some extra money.
Sure. While you waited for the ski season to start.
Right. And
yeah.
then?
And it just kind of stuck
is, it,
with
is that for the ski season?
No, I don't ski.
You live in Colorado and you don't ski?
No, I don't. I'm not really an outdoors person. I'm a sports person. I like basketball, basically stuff
well,
like that.
Well, it's good. It's good that you work at a place with no windows then.
I don't know if that's good or not. But
well, you're not an outdoors guy.
Yeah,
at least he's assessing it. I don't know if that's good or not. That's good that we're going to point jump.
We do have one little window just to keep an eye on the parking lot.
Even Nate.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, we do.
Even Nate's wondering whether 3 years in a porn shop is good for him.
Right. I'm always just spooked. I see bars. I just passed a bar today called The Bullet, and no window. Like, even if you got to paint a window on there, it's spooky seeing buildings. You know, you don't think about it. When you see the entire face of the building, it's just a door right in the middle. It's creepy. Mm-hmm.
You almost get the little dungeon feel going.
Yeah.
We wonder what's going on. How to get out.
Porn, that's what's going on.
All right, so what's the question?
Okay, what I was going to check and see was just basically, I guess what I want to see is what you guys think I should do. I've been going with my girlfriend for about 3 or 4 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, like, she has a brother and a sister, and she has an older brother. She's 19. Her older brother is 20. And so I know him, and he knows me and everything. But we haven't really got to know each other, like, on a good level yet.
This is your girlfriend?
My girlfriend's brother.
Right. Yeah.
And what happened was I caught him the other day in one of the booths in back having sex with another man in the booth.
How did he get in there? I mean, didn't you see him come in?
Well, I think what happened was I started at 4 o'clock and work until midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got there, like, right before I came in. And I don't know if he knows I work there or not. I mean, he didn't. I don't think he knew before.
He didn't know this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I don't really talk to him that much.
All right. And you, but you recognized him.
Well, I thought I recognized him because we have the cameras in back.
Uh-huh.
And,
wait, you have a surveillance monitor?
Yeah, we have cameras so we can keep an eye out for just that kind of stuff.
And what do you do when you see some glory holing going on?
What we basically do is take our little batons in back and bang on the doors and just basically tell them to get the hell out.
And that's what you did, and your brother-in-law?
Well, I wasn't quite sure if it was him or not, but it looked just like him.
But I mean, he comes spilling out.
I went back there, and I kind of started knocking on the door, and I was like, what's going on in there? And I heard all this rustling, you know, like pulling pants up real quick. And
yeah. Oh, of course.
And,
this is an outrage.
I was like, you know, you better open this door right now before I call the cops on you.
Really? Wow.
And they opened the door, and it was him, and
Right, now these...
How outraged can you be in a porn shop?
These booze. Oh, the temerity. And these booze, I mean, you got rolls of paper towels to mop up the semen, and
exactly.
You're outraged. But these booze... aren't they show dirty movies in these booths?
Yeah, you put in a dollar. There's 30 channels, and you put in a dollar, mm-hmm. and you can just flip to the channels.
Hold on one second. Who does not have porn? You can get a VCR, DVD, color TV combination for like $80 now. I mean, really? No, I got to do my beating on the road. That's just me. A lot of guys like to do it in their living room, maybe the bathroom. Not me. I like to spank off in places with no windows, the bad indoor-outdoor carpeting, and lots of foot traffic going by the hollow core door that's poorly hung without the mortise hinges through.
But maybe they expect stuff like this. You know what I mean? Maybe they're looking for that.
They're looking for a date.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, but I'm just talking about why the booths are constructed in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I've told you. I've visited those booths before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's diabolical. You put in a buck, They run. They put in a buck, and you have to pick your movie, and you're flipping around. By the time you settle on one, the thing runs out. So now it's pants up and another buck because you got the change in your pant pocket. They've timed it perfectly, so you start your beat off, and the thing runs out. It's like $70 later, 400 quarters later. Nate?
Yeah.
Am I right or am I right?
That's pretty much basically.
You guys have done scientific research on how long it takes a guy to bust a nut and how much change, how long it takes him with the change out of the pocket. And so guys go in there and watch porn. Is that what they're supposed to be doing?
Basically, they just go back there to do their thing.
Is there a roll of paper towels in there?
No. I mean, we don't supply anything. We don't, like, hand them paper towels or nothing. What happens, I think, a lot is either they just bring in their own stuff.
And they have a guy
have to use
a bathroom
and go get a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And clean up booth. And you're after going clean up detail? Or they probably do that early on?
When I first started, I
had
to do it.
Sure, that's where you begin.
Well, I've got a room with the manager, and I've kind of convinced her to hire other people to come in just to do that.
Smart. Describe her.
Huh?
The manager?
Yeah.
Describe her?
Yeah.
Big ass.
She's actually like an older lady. She's pretty bald.
Chain smoker?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know the type.
She's got like three teeth.
Clamp-on earrings.
Yeah, she...
Sea hag.
She's like the American badass kind of lady. Like a biker chick.
Tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, hold on a second, Nate, because I'm enthralled with this lifestyle I have here. And like I said, you're right that these things... Eventually, let me tell you about the gays. They're like roaches. They find their way in, and they take over. You know what I'm saying? They need to meet other guys. And, of course, as guys, there's no equivalent to the glory hole. It's like there's no bar we can go to and just bang chicks in the bathroom and stuff like that. So we can't turn these places into this.
Heterosexual males.
Heterosexual males. Yeah. So, you know, what we got a TGI Fridays. We can go there and send a couple of light beers down the bar and see if we can get a phone number. But there's no just, hey, I need a quickie. Right. I'm just going to bend you over something place. But, of course, with two guys making the decision, you know, who's saying no, right?
Oh, no.
So all you got to do is sort of work it out. But now you got to kind of find the spot. You got to find the position. Once you work it out, then you get a little system going. Now you're in. Interesting, Drew.
Oh, you're into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
All right. We'll finish up with Nate and the porn lifestyle after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. All right. That's Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. So I went to the dentist today.
Oh, my God.
I had the guy tell me a guy was great. He said, I was like the only honest thing I've ever heard out of the dentist. Wasn't my normal dentist. The other guy came in, he was taking my stitches out. And like I said, it's always a bad sign if you're going to the dentist and having the stitches. I'm going there just to have the stitches taken out. And he took a look at this titanium bolt that's in my jaw. And he was looking in, putting a little light in there and taking a look. And said, yeah. They want to see how it's healing when they're taking the stitches out. And he goes, yeah, it looks good. Looks good. And then he took a beat and he goes, well, you know, doesn't look good, but it's, you know, I mean, it looks good. I mean, it's healing. And I thought, yep, that's true. Because usually when you open a guy's mouth, there's just a bunch of big patch area that looks like a hamburger when it's gone bad in the refrigerator, and it's got a nice bolt hanging out of it. It doesn't look good. Doesn't look good, but I appreciated his candor as he stopped and had explained that, no,
did
it really
you, did
didn't
you
look good.
Take note of that with him? Did you?
I thought it was funny, and I told him I appreciate it. It's, yes, you have Frankenstein's neck is taking its place in your mouth, and it really doesn't look good. But glad the healing was going okay, and I'm just clanking around with that mirror. Yeah. Famous, you know, dentist. Every answer at dentist is I always have improvements of how they can improve their work, and they always go, and they're very defined about. Oh, they have them. They have them. Yeah, they don't make those things out of plastic. Oh, they have them. They should heat that water. They have them. It's like, really? Say it doesn't exist. It makes you look. Now you look like an idiot because they have them.
You don't.
Yeah. And who's they? Someone find me they. That's who I want to start going to. They. For everything. So I answer. Oh, they have them. Nate?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. 24. working at the porn shop.
Yes, sir.
What's the name of the porn shop, just for fun?
It is called the Meat Shack.
God. No way.
Yeah.
How do they spell meat?
M-E-E-T.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, all right.
And then you're surprised when people come there to do their thing with and meet other people?
When I first started working there, like, it surprised me that people did that stuff. But, I mean, I've worked there so long.
When you say people, you mean gays.
Yeah.
The gays, that's what I like to say.
Come in there.
Right.
I mean, you know, at first, it was like, you know, what are they doing? You know, but anymore, it's just second nature there.
And do you really have surveillance cameras up in the booths?
Not in the booths, but, like, in the hallway between the booth doors.
So you see a couple of guys walk into a booth, and you know what's up.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question.
Is there some laws preventing that you have to intervene on this stuff? Why do you know?
Yeah, I would.
I've never been told that there's, like, an actual law against it, but it's kind of like more of a, I want to say, thrill thing for me, but it's kind of fun to, you know, bust somebody when they think they're pulling one over on you.
Yeah.
It's a courtesy to other customers. Let's be fair.
Go rouse the gays.
Yeah. It's like, you know, how stupid do you think I am, you know?
Yeah, but see, for me, I couldn't get out of that. I couldn't stay away from that booth.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't be far enough from that booth.
My question is, you know, what is it you think people are coming in there for? You know what I mean? How stupid they think you are.
Well, a lot of them have a nice gift section, a nice snack shack.
Oh.
Well, you know what's kind of funny?
Stimulating conversation. Yeah.
You like, some guys will come in, and, you know, there's always the regulars that come in that always come in on a regular basis, and they'll go stand and look at the magazines, and then a new guy will walk in, and he'll go back to the booth, and, like, three different guys that are just camped around the store will just, like, run to the booth at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, fresh meat. Ooh, let's go.
Yeah.
And you get your baton out. And...
Yeah, I'm like, I start watching the cameras. I'm like, all right, you know, who's the lucky one today?
Oh, man, you have to, like, light off a AIDS fogger every once in a while, too. Just pull that thing.
That'd be the main concern, is that it's a public health risk. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I mean, when I go back there, I try to stay back there least amount of time as I can. But for the most part,
All right, so what's your question?
Well, he saw his brother-in-law
or his girlfriend's brother
going in there and gain it up.
All right, so he's gay. There you go.
All right.
Yeah. So I was basically just going to check and see... I guess from your guys' point of view, like, I respect what you guys think because I listen to you guys all the time. Well, I mean, what would you guys do in this situation if you were me?
Well, keep it quiet.
Here's the thing. Here's what you got to look for.
Be respectful.
No, here's what you have to look for. There are times when you have to come forward with uncomfortable information because when it does come out, people are going to say, well, you knew. Why didn't you say anything? You know?
Yeah. If it's something that's important for someone's safety or health or something.
Yeah, but
not
there's
that.
Like a friend sees somebody's having an affair, sees a friend's husband.
That,
it's like,
that too. When it, but again, that's affecting people's mental health and well-being and stuff.
Right. This is not. If and when it does come out that he's gay, and she probably already knows or whatever, you're not going to be implicated. No one's going to start yelling at you. You knew. We could have stopped it, you know.
No.
Yeah, just leave.
No way.
And just get the hell out of there.
And he's never going to show back up there again. And what are you doing there? Get a job.
He's got a job. He's busting up the gays.
Strangely,
kicking in the door of the jizz closet.
You know what I mean? It's a little strangely thrilling for him.
Getting off on it a little? Little power of authority. I really...
Not only that, just a little into it.
Yeah, well, this is why I started the show off talking about the a-holes who man the parking lots here. But there's two types of personalities. There's one that would want nothing to do with this, ever. I don't care if there was 75 guys in there forming some huge... daisy chain that looked like the AIDS quilt. I would not go in there. I don't care what went on in there. If I saw it coming up over the top of the door.
If it was like the Shining with the out of the
elevator doors open and just semen comes pouring. Or yes, he saw the Shining.
You,
he
when,
saw
when
the Shining.
Happen? I was going to say, you cannot talk about the Shining.
I did. I saw it.
Well, why don't you talk about
it? He did the day after
you were.
He saw it.
Yeah.
Yes, I would not do anything about it. But then there are guys who love that. They love that. They love that thing where it's like, I just want to step out the back and get something out of my car. Once you leave, you can't come back. Yeah, see the green Impala right there? That's my car. So you can just watch me. I'm just going to go, you can't come back in once you leave. Yeah, I got the ticket stub right here. You literally, it just seemed I just got to grab my glasses from the car. No.
I can't let you back in. Yeah.
Retards. I'm not that guy. My guy, I'm the guy who says, go do whatever you want and come back whenever you feel like it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much that guy.
I used to teach traffic school. I'd walk in, some guy would walk into my traffic school 3 hours late, 5 hours late. I got lost. I thought that I'd sit down. Yeah, but I didn't know. Sit down. Well, I got to make this up during what? No, just sit down. Let's get the hell out of here. See you at the day. Jesus Christ. What's up with all you screwed up people? You get some feeling of power busting up homos? Or keeping some guy from coming back into the theater.
But I think Nate has a special focus on the homosexuals that bothers me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you don't like the gays.
Mm-hmm.
You pee in the fire extinguisher, and then you go up and down Ventura Boulevard, and you squirt them. That's what you do.
Samantha, what's going on?
Hi.
Samantha's 22.
Thank you for taking my call. My fiancé and I have been together for about a year, and I walked in on him masturbating to a porn film. And it really upset me. And
sure.
Yeah, he said he wouldn't do it again. And I walked into him again. And I walked
Oh, my God.
I got it out of his system. You know, he got that one out. I've used that one. Well, it's gone now. I got it out of me. Won't
he
be back again.
Like in the other room with the door wide open, and I'm on the couch. And I'm like, what are you doing? But so we talked about it, and he got rid of all the films. But now I'm really into it, and I don't. Not with him, but I do it by myself, like, daily, sometimes several times a day. Like, I masturbate while I watch porn. And I don't understand why I love it so much, but it upsets me that he watches it.
Does he know you're doing this?
No. I'm so scared about him finding the tape. Like, I take it wherever I go whenever I leave the house. He doesn't find it.
So funny.
You're worried about people finding it, so you put it in your purse.
I swear, I carry it in my backpack to school.
See, oh, it seems like there's a higher percentage of people finding the porn if you have it on your person.
I just don't want him to find it.
Oh, listen, hold on a second. Women are so dumb. They're not crafty enough to hide the goddamn porn somewhere in the house. They have to pile it, take it with them, and then eventually when her collection grows.
When the guy finds it, it's going to be like, oh, my God.
When the guy finds it, he's going to think it was one of his.
He's going to think it was the people who lived here before or something.
Man, he's
never going to suspect her.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I don't remember putting one in a Kotex box.
Oh,
but,
my God.
All right, this is a windfall. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm doing handsprings. Samantha, look, you probably won't be so disturbed if he does this with you.
Really?
Yeah.
So?
Yeah. And so I think maybe that's something you ought to include him in with you. So you guys can do this together so you don't feel so clandestine and guilty about it and so he doesn't feel so flipped out and guilty.
And what about the part about her being sort of revolting when he does it, but when she...
That
love-hate thing. There's some momentum there.
Yeah.
We don't hear about this one, but it makes sense.
Yeah,
it really upset me when I found him watching the...
All right. Well, let's do a few... Let me make a few guesses here. Did your dad cheat on your mom?
Well, my mother's been married like 5 times.
No. All right. Mm-hmm.
She's in that case.
Cookie mm-hmm. mom and all bets are off.
So you distrust men. So you're this sort of reinforces that men are going to drift away from you and they're going to be roaming and it's just further evidence of that, right?
Absolutely.
Did your mom fill your head with, this son of a bitch, he cheated, or we're out of here because he's no good?
Well, my mother was actually the one that had a bunch of affairs on her husband.
Oh. Well, it's interesting. It's funny. I felt cheating, but moms aren't normally the cheaters.
Yeah, and I've only had one boyfriend cheat on me, and it was like my first love when I was 15.
Right. Let me say this. All right, so listen, you're fine.
You're making good choices. Okay. What part? Is there some particular kind of porn you're into?
Anal. I'm really into that, and he's not quite as into it as I am. Like I
suddenly
love.
I'm getting bogus suddenly.
Yeah. I am too.
So I bought that particular film, and
What's it called?
The Mason Jar.
Double Dip Anal.
All right. So chicks can't think that fast. Is it the you bang us your anus there? Is it a series? No.
A series.
Sure.
Oh my God! What's it called?
You bang us your anus.
God. Oh my God!
I just love that name. All right, Samantha. Oh. Yeah, you're fine, baby doll.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let me say this. That didn't all
Yeah, but then she came up the double dip.
Yeah.
Let me say this. Her and her mom's a nut job.
Yeah.
Okay. You know how I yap all the time about you know, some of these people we talk to, they're on their third kid and they're 19 years old. Yeah. And I wonder, no intervention at a certain point. Fifth marriage.
Third.
After the fourth marriage doesn't work out, should you just say, nah, we're not going to issue you a license?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like Tyson bites Vander Holyfield's ear off and then he can't get licensed in, like, Nevada. They go, you know what? They size a guy's sort of career up.
Yeah.
They go, we've seen about enough out of you.
Yeah.
We've seen enough. Yeah. No more. Wouldn't that be okay with the marriage license, too?
I would think so.
Coming in for number five.
Yeah, I would hope so.
You're chewing the gum. You got the beehive and the clamp-on earrings. And it's like, you know what, sweetie? We made a mistake with Liz Taylor a while back. Now, you want to get married? You have to go to Oregon or something.
You know, we're not going to give to. You don't see so much of that anymore, and people say 45 and under. Because after, you know, 45 and older, that was growing around, having lots of marriages. They didn't have sex unless they had marriage. So if you wanted to have multiple sexual partners, you had to have multiple marriages.
It's interesting,
And while, you know, since the 60s and since then, people, they do that screwing around before they get married.
Yeah, people screw around before they get married. They screw around while they're married. You see more of this sort of like they get married, they break up, they screw around for a few years, they get married again, they do some screwing around during that. But yes, back then, it's like you want to screw around, you had to get married 11 times.
Yeah.
He became Richard Burton.
Larry King.
All right. what does wife number seven think when the guy's telling him how, you're the only one in my life. I could never love a woman. Like, really? 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 I mean, isn't it sort of like the guys come, like you're the judge and this criminal's come up before you 15 times and he's saying, this time.
This is it.
This is it. I found Jesus last time I was in the joint. I'm on the straight and narrow. Like, could you ever believe that person?
No.
Would you ever want to hang out with anyone who'd been married seven times?
No.
Like, don't you think guys like Larry King and Liz Taylor are just fundamentally horribly flawed?
Well, Liz's got her problems.
And Larry doesn't?
I don't know.
Okay, buddy. Don't say anything bad. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. All right. Drew, did you watch those Grammys last night?
No, I saw a bunch of excerpts. I saw about 5 minutes of it.
Yeah, whatever.
Why?
I didn't see any of it. I was working on something, and I had no idea who won. I didn't know anything. I didn't. I had to get all caught up today.
You know, I watched the Dixie Chicks perform, and I thought, you know, you haven't told your story about Natalie in a long time. And I thought about my first encounter with her. Was it Politically Incorrect? And people were, who is this chick? And the publicist, for the first time, did something very, very sort of appropriate. Just said, you'll know who she is. Just relax. Just trust me.
Yeah, you know what? Was I on PI with the Dixie Chicks tour, or was that just you?
Just me. It was well before they were the Dixie Chicks. She was, I mean, I had no idea who she was.
Yeah, well, I just remember you were on with the Dixie Chicks.
And Woody Harrelson was attacking her because she took a sort of an anti-pot stance.
I thought I did it with them, too. But
maybe.
Who the hell knows?
Anyway, but I thought it'd be worth telling that story again. That story cannot be told enough. Huh?
All right. Well, it was at the first Grammy, so yeah. I'll try to make it quick. Oh, screw it. It's going to take a while with this one. When they won their first Grammy was at the Shrine, but it was a few weeks before that. I got a call from my then manager's assistant, said, you know the Dixie Chicks? I said, yeah, I know them. I mean, They were up for a Grammy, and they'd sold some records. It was their first record.
Have they been on Loveline, the TV show, I think?
No, I don't think so.
No.
I don't remember meeting any of them.
Right.
And I'd heard of them, and people had heard of them, but there wasn't any big whoops. And they said, well, you know, the lead singer, Natalie, wants you to escort her to the Grammys. And I said, why? I've never met her. And she said, well, she watches you on Loveline on MTV and likes some joke you made about farting or something. And I said,
Jesus.
I said, well, and this is how my life works. This is my life in a nutshell. I said, how can I take her? I have a girlfriend, a longtime girlfriend, and I couldn't see myself taking another girl to the Grammys. I think my girlfriend would get mad. And, of course, The assistant says, oh, no, no, no. People do this all the time. They do it all the time. It's common, common in this town. I said, what, you mean just to be like an escort? Yeah, mm-hmm. Nope, nope, doesn't mean anything. I said, no. All right, well, what time? It's like 7 o'clock. I'm like, all right, I got to go do the radio after that. I was like, okay, sign me up. Tell her fine. Sounds like a good time. And, of course, my girlfriend was pissed.
Of course.
Pissed as hell. But let me tell you the difference between the way we handle our lady friends. I told her, what I do for a living gets you good things 9 out of 10 times. All your concert tickets, all your friends, all this junk all the time. Once in a while, you got to bite the bullet. That's Grammy night. And she took it. So I ended up going with Dickie from the Boss Tones. We ended up running late, missing like the Dixie Chicks limo. We're going to meet him there and blah, blah, blah. So Dickie and I got ready, and we went over there and met up with the Dixie Chicks. Nice, really nice. Entire band, sweethearts, all of them, friendly. And they won the Grammy, and it was weird because I stood up and they all stood up. I knew my girlfriend was watching on TV, so I had to like give him like a good handshake, and then it was like it was awkward, like weird pat on the back and a peck on the cheek, and I sort of slapped them with my palm on the shoulder. Nice work. And so they went up and collected their Grammy, and then we got in the limo and went to like some party. But of course I had to go to work, so I was at the party from like, you know, 9:10 to like 9:32, and then I came here, you know, and then won the, and everything was great. So the next day I got a big bouquet of roses at my office, at the Man Show office, and it said, thanks, had a good time, Natalie, you know, from the Dixie Chicks, lead singer. And I said, oh, that was nice. I was telling my partners, Daniel and Jimmy, that was nice. I had a good time, sent me some flowers, that's nice. And then I called her. I had her cell phone number, and I called her and I said, hey, Natalie, I got the flowers. And she was like, it was a little confused. Like, she was like, huh? I was like, hey, I got the flyer. And she's like, oh, good, good. And she goes, I'm watching you right now on TV. And I was like, whoa, chick's got it bad for me. You know? I said, thanks for the flowers. Had a good time. You know, when you guys come in and do the radio show. I said, all right. Day later, I get, let's see, what did I get? I got like a big cookie, oversized novelty hubcap size cookie that says like, I love Adam on it, Natalie, you know. And I thought, just chick's doesn't let up. It's got it bad for the kid, you know what I'm saying? Can't say as I blame her.
Because you're gloating to all your partners.
Of course, I'm gloating to everyone. I'll hear it in the office. Yeah, this Dixie chicks. Yeah, lead chick. Yeah, got it bad for the ace man. Yeah, she's only flesh and blood. I guess I can't blame the kid. And then the next day, or maybe 2 days later, I get like a big stuffed animal or something, and it's Natalie from, and Daniel, Jimmy are like, look, you got to call her. You got a girlfriend. I mean, this is getting a little out of control. So I call her, and I'm like, yeah, appreciate this, appreciate that, but you know, I got a girlfriend, but hey, next time you come in town, you do the radio show, I have some kicks. She's like, okay. So then I get the next day, I get the 6-foot sub with the sign in it that says, I will not be ignored. Natalie from the Dixie Chicks, and I'm like, wow. I mean, this girl, I mean, I see her point. I mean, a lot of man.
And you try to be direct.
Maybe too much man for one woman, but I was pretty straight with her last time I talked to her. I said I had a girlfriend, you know. And, wow, this is all right. This is her sense of humor. This is what she's doing. She's having a sense. She's having a joke about it.
And you're in powwows with Jimmy and Danny.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. We got to put an end to this. And then the next day I get the panties. And it says, like, F me now or something, you know, Natalie from the Dixie Chicks. And Daniel and Jimmy are like, hey, buddy, this is spun out of control. You got to call this chick now and take care of her. I'm like, yeah, I'll give her buzz on when I get home. She's like, no, now, you got to call her now. I had her cell phone number, so I called. She's at a Pottery Barn in, like,
with her mom.
Yeah, in, like, I don't know, like, Tennessee with her mom. And I'm like, hey, Natalie, listen, this is Adam. You know, we had a nice conversation, but apparently you didn't get the message. I got a girlfriend. The
flowers were great.
Flowers, the stuffed animals, the cookies, the panties. She's like, I didn't send any of that. And I'm like, well, I mean, I got the flowers. And then I looked up, and the entire office was filled with the Man Show employees laughing like
video cameras pointing
at
you.
Yeah, Jimmy had the video camera going. And she's like, huh? What? Panties? And I'm like, You didn't send stuff to
not even the flower.
What about the Pooh Bear? What about the big Pooh was you, right? That was you, huh? She's like, I didn't even send the flowers. I just figured my publicist did it. And I was being nice. And I was like, oh Christ! Listen, I can't explain. I gotta go. But they came in here a few months later, and they were nice. We had a good time with them.
She laughed.
And then you remember what they did? Next day, they sent over a 6-foot sub and a whole big deli spread over here that we all enjoyed. So there's the Dixie Chicks, everybody. Good people. And here's the thing I love. My now wife and then girlfriend was mad at me. She's mad. And I was like, what do you mean? I was calling her and telling her, hey, we can't do this, you know? And she's like, that's what I love about women. Still can figure out a way to be pissed off. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We'll be back. Hey, love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Is it just me, or does everyone feel like they're running from TV show to TV show now?
You mean from the reality shows?
Yeah, just in general. Like, Survivor's going to be on. Oh, no, Joe Millionaire. The finale of Joe Millionaire is going to be on the same night.
This is the television equivalent.
More frenzied now.
Television equivalent of the dot-com era. This is going to torch and then...
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
You getting caught up a little bit?
No.
Really? Yeah, me neither. No, I mean, I am. It used to be like, well, I like this show on Speed Vision, and then I like to watch 60 Minutes, and that was about it. And now it's like every night there's conflict. Help get me out of here. I'm a celebrity's on at the same time. This Dateline thing is on, and they're doing the follow-up of the Michael Jackson interview. It's like I'm missing. But here's what I'm saying, Drew. I know it's always been around. It's always been out there.
What?
Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah.
Extra and all these shows, these entertainment shows and all this stuff. Doesn't it feel like we've just been beat over the head with it for like the last 6 months?
Oh, yes.
And it especially last like 2 months.
Yes.
Just sort of TV crazy. Yeah. Like, did you see, like now you're going into work and it's like, did you see the Michael Jackson? You didn't see, do you see when Joe Millionaire, it's like everyone's like, and I'm feeling like, well, I'm not going to be able to communicate with people at my work.
Unless you watch
if I know what they're talking about.
It's weird.
Did you see what Aretha Franklin was wearing last night? And everyone's like, yeah, it was incredible.
It seems strange
and I'm like, I missed it.
We'd be preoccupied with such BS in the face of such a really serious world situation.
Well, it was funny. I was saying to Jimmy the other day, which was this whole, it's funny that after 9/11, the cry was, we all need to get back to our lives. Don't be scared, you know, to go outside. Get back to your lives. But you know what we did? We got back to other people's lives.
Reality TV.
Yeah, we got back to Joe Millionaire's life and Michael Jackson's life.
Yeah.
And when Melissa Rivers' life. We missed ours. We got back to someone else's. Yeah.
That always happens, though. Whenever there's a war or anything, everyone turns to fantasy.
No, they do. There's a history of movies and things like that filling.
Yeah, sort of.
Chicago's so big this year.
Really, you think?
Yeah, it was musicals. But back in the 70s, it's like NAMM ends in 73, 74, and then there's a whole slew of Vietnam movies just come out. Like, yeah, you didn't get an ass full of it. here's The Deer Hunter. Mm. Here's Coming Home. Look, we didn't make Fantasia after NAMM ended.
Well,
how dare you? True, nice rebuttal.
Yeah, but after, we're in the midst of all this now.
All right.
And as Anders makes the point, there's fantasy films during the war, and then the war films follow after.
Drew's right.
All right, Drew's right. Look, he saw The Shining. I'm still reeling.
And I've gone out and looked for Raging Bull.
Oh, he's not seen Raging Bull. Oh, The Shining. Anderson, he's not seen Raging Bull either.
Unacceptable.
That's all it is. Brad?
Yeah.
You're 30?
Yep.
What's up?
Yeah, hey, I've been smoking pot for about 13 years, and
I got to stop. And I tried going to NA. I tried going to MA.
Mm-hmm.
But the 12-step groups just are not working for me.
All right. I bet Brad has seen The Shining, not seen Raging Bull. You going to go with that?
He's 30.
He's 30. Brad?
Yep.
Have you seen The Shining?
No.
What about Raging Bull?
No, but I have it on DVD, and I'm waiting to watch it.
Unacceptable, unacceptable, unacceptable.
Wow, what is up with people? Yeah, well, of course, Drew's going to defend him, huh?
Yeah. All right, Brad, it may be you need to go to an inpatient program, someplace with more structure, more intensity.
And, I did an inpatient program, actually.
You did?
How long were you there for?
Well, I was there for 3 out of the 4 weeks and then got in a fight and got kicked out.
Did you see a psychiatrist when you were there?
No.
Because there's something more than just addiction going on here. There's a reason you can't get with the program. And every addict wants to do it an easier, kinder way. And the fact is it takes a hell of a lot of work and a lot of commitment and a lot of surrender and a lot of pain. And there ain't no alternative. There just isn't. Well,
let me tell you what problems I had with the 12-step groups. First of all, I'm an atheist.
Yeah, that's all right. Many people are.
Well, you know...
The whole idea is just to give you some sense of faith that when you surrender to the process, things are going to turn out okay. To give you the sort of comfort with surrender. That's the whole idea of the higher power.
Right. And then, but the thing is when you're in the meeting and you're in the group.
Did you ever get a sponsor?
No.
All right. Well, the treatment is done with the sponsor. No sponsor, no treatment. It's very simple. If you're not working the steps with a sponsor, you haven't even begun the process. So you've never even set foot on the process.
Now what's the part where you get in a fight in the in-house treatment?
Well, that's character logic stuff.
Yeah, Brad, what's wrong with you?
well, probably a lot of things. But
were you sort of physically abused growing up or abandoned or something?
Both,
yeah.
All right.
And that's usually what sets this kind of thing
up. About a little therapy for young Brad?
Well, that's why I was asking if a psychiatrist saw him. He needs a lot of work.
Brad, what's going on? Will you work construction?
No, I'm a glass blower. I make marijuana pipes for a living.
Oh, wait a minute. Did we talk to you before?
Nope.
You ever fart into one of those glass blowing things?
No.
Because I'd buy one of those and put on my Christmas tree.
If somebody had a fart in a glass?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd break.
It wouldn't diffuse out
in case of emergencies. I think it would stay in there. Brad.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
If you farted into a glass ball and made like a bulb out of it and then sealed it quickly, you think it would stay in there?
Or would it bind to the glass?
But I don't know, man.
Yeah, you got to think about this.
But anyway, we had a long discussion about glass blowing.
You blow bongs, huh?
No, I do pipes. I do handwork.
Oh, you do that? That's interesting.
I'm sure you've seen them, Adam, like high-end, expensive pipes.
Yeah, I've seen that. I got one that's made out of a toilet paper roll.
Nice.
With the foil in there.
Good job. Yeah, proud of you.
Thank you. Yeah, you know the pipe. All right, Brad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do okay, right? You make money?
I make good money, yeah.
You're an artisan. Yeah, you need to get a little therapy at this point.
He needs to be in a structured program. He doesn't go from failing in an inpatient program to a lower level of care.
Mm-hmm.
A higher level of care, more intense, more psychiatric care, more structure.
You know what just cracks me up is the pipe or the bong that does not stand up, especially the pipe.
Huh.
I had one pipe for many years. A guy made it for me.
Mm.
The guy's name was Doug. This guy had a pipe that was also had the novelty pipe. It was about 7 foot long of 2-inch PVC pipe. It's like two people to run it, you know. But this is a guy who had a shopping cart in his bedroom.
For what?
It was on the third floor of an apartment. For what? Why not? He had his clothes in it. But here's the point. He made me this pipe.
Where is that guy now?
Where's Doug?
Yeah.
Doug's married to Alex Borstein from Mad TV. Yeah.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's doing all right. He like writes, does a little acting. Yeah, he does all right. He made me this pipe. It was made out of one of those hard cardboard rolls. You know, it looks like just a cardboard tube, but it's sort of thick-walled and whatever.
Right.
And it was just round, you know. It was just like a 3/4 inch, and it was round, and it was like 5 inches long, and it had a big brass bell at the end of it, you know. And the problem is it would fall over. Like, you couldn't, you'd have to lean it on, you know, for years, this thing, you'd have to prop it up, you'd have to lean it up. It would just, everything would fall over, ashes would go everywhere, every time. You just don't do that. You just don't make a round pipe that falls over. That's what I'm saying.
I'm so glad there's no guest tonight. It's nice to spend some us time, Adam.
Yeah. You ever have one of those pipes that rolls over?
I was just spending a little time thinking about it just now, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Woody?
Yes, sir.
You're 38?
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling the program.
All right, sir. My question is, I found myself quite attracted to a woman who's in her 40s. I'm in my late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out that she is a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And my question is simply...
How'd you find out?
I found out through some friends, and I did some background checking, and this may be a wild-ass shot, but Adam may even know her because she works for the parent company. She works for Viacom.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small company. We know everyone in the company.
I think I know who you're talking about now.
No, I don't think so, but yeah, anyway, she works for Paramount. But anyway...
Listen, I don't know if Anderson's first name is his... I don't know if that's his first name or his last name. Are you kidding me?
Well, anyway, I was just wondering if you or Dr. Drew could enlighten me as to whether or not when a woman says she's a lesbian, is mm-hmm. that, or is homosexuality in general, is that a genetic predisposition, or can that be a personal preference? I mean, could this woman have just had a lot of men problems in the past, or, you know, I'm just...
Well, let me ask you this. I'm glad you bring this up, Woody. Drew, we know from doing this show that there are sort of lesbians and homosexuals, gay or lesbian, that were just sort of born that way, always been that way, and then people that were molested or victimized or had over-domineering mom or forces of society.
Environmental forces, yeah.
Yeah, created this.
Yeah.
Now, is it more likely for a woman than a man? And we never really explored this,
Most of the discussions about the genetics of homosexuality are over men. And women, because they're more fluid, you know, they women less so than men tend to be exclusively homosexual.
Right.
They can kind of go back and forth. They're more fluid. Now, there are plenty of women that are just lesbian. That's the fact. Mm-hmm. But it's not so black and white with women as it is with men. And so most of the discussions about the genetics are in men.
Well, okay. So, Woody?
Yes, sir.
She could have been created in the lab, as we like to say, or God could have made her a lesbo.
We don't know.
Or some combo. But the fact that she told you this, or did she tell you this?
Well, she didn't tell me this. I found this out through kind of a roundabout way.
See, the point is, Woody, that women...
Where are you going?
Women can go through a phase. Men don't go through a phase. Men are yes or no.
Yeah.
Right. But women go through a phase. And maybe she's not really lesbian. Maybe she just was sort of...
Let's not encourage Woody.
What I found out was that she's... apparently gone through a commitment ceremony with a woman and has been cohabitating with this woman for the past few years.
Why was she dating you then?
She wasn't dating Woody. Woody just liked her.
Oh.
Yeah, and the irony is that this woman, believe it or not, had been contacting me, and that's what really threw me off, because there's nothing masculine about her, nothing butch about her. I mean, she's a beautiful Chinese. I had, you know, no way of... reading anything other than I just thought...
All right, hold on a second. Let me speak to Drew for a second.
Okay.
Now, when I picture Woody, I picture sort of long flowing locks, ascot, chiseled chest and chin.
Yeah.
Piercing green eyes.
Not.
Yeah. I think Woody's not got the old Woody parked in too many garages. Woody?
Yes, sir.
Not been a big hit with the ladies over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, Adam, you know, I have to go to Burger King if I want to get my hands on warm buns. It's that kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. It's amazing with that sense of humor that you haven't been more successful.
Yeah.
That's things very bored good. Women.
But you're a smart guy, right? You work in some sort of a high-tech field?
Well, Adam, actually, I did stand-up comedy for some time, and I'm trying to get back into it.
Mm. Yeah, please do. Mm. Always makes me seem funnier.
Let us hear some, please.
Yeah, we got to hear some jokes, Woody. I mean, other than the A-list Burger King material, I want to...
Well, I'll tell you, Adam, this is absolutely true. I sent you an email, and I didn't think you'd get it because it went to loveline@earthlink.net. But honest to God...
Yeah, I didn't know we had email. Do we have email?
That's his site.
Well, anyway... Adam,
no, Lauren answers it daily.
Okay.
Oh, she does? Oh, okay.
All right.
You might get a quick kick out of this. Honest to God, my real name, my given name is Tom Green. And I was born in Salt Lake City, and... Of course, the Tom Green, Canadian comic, already broke through.
Sure.
Another guy, a Mormon polygamist with 30 kids, convicted no less, is named Tom Green.
Sure.
So I changed my name, and I swear to you this is true. I can send you court documents.
That's okay.
I changed my name
to Shecky Green.
No, I changed it to Woody Volcano Viagra.
Oh, that's good.
Wow!
If a guy had a sense of humor, he would have laughed when I made my Shecky Green joke. Woody Volcano.
True.
Okay. All right.
And so that's what I'm going by now, and so I'm trying to get back into stand-up, but that's the name behind the...
What got you out of stand-up?
Hospitalization.
Well, I got kind of high-priced out of the... I got priced out of the real estate in California. And so I was taking care of my mother, who was elderly at the time, and I took care of her until she passed away. And I ran low on finances, and I had to return to Salt Lake, and I'm trying to regroup and get back to California.
This is very unfunny.
All right, all right.
That's unfunny.
Yeah. Okay, so give us a couple of jokes from your act.
Well, okay, I can give you a couple of jokes. First of all, you know, as with any drug, a Viagra, the success and effectiveness of Viagra is dependent upon the proper dose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for example, 50 milligrams don't do it for me. I look like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. but 100 milligrams, Adam.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And I'm the Eiffel Tower. I wrote that myself.
Really? I'll tell you, this kid's got it. I don't say that often. Yeah, keep going with it.
I'll give you a little Henny Youngman bit, okay?
Please do. Because our 13-year-old listeners love Henny Youngman.
Yeah, right. A guy walks into a drugstore, asks the pharmacist if they carry Viagra.
Mm-hmm.
The pharmacist says, sure. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, can I get it over the counter? The pharmacist says, well, it might take 5 or 6 doses. It's a pole joke.
Yeah, I see. I get it over the counter.
Get it over the counter.
You do.
That's a little hokey, but...
Right. No, it's solid. That's a material. Any non-Viagra jokes? You can give me one.
Non-Viagra jokes. Well, I do a lot of stuff on... When I was growing up, you know, I was such a slow developer, always the last one to come out in a Polaroid
Shocking.
Picture.
Shocking.
I grew up in the 60s, and, you know, we still played hide-and-seek, and none of the other kids came and looked for me. After a few days, they put out an ATB. I don't know if you're laughing or if you're...
No. It's good material, Woody.
So you got to get back.
You got to get back in.
Well, and, you know, I look like a Q-tip with glasses. I don't really have a look that the women love.
Right.
So that was my outlet.
Yeah, well, that was good. It was good.
Next caller!
Good stuff. You got to get in. You make it big, we bring you on the show. You make it too big, you don't want to come on the show. All right, so you make it sort of medium big, you come on the show.
Is there any way I could get to the talent coordinator at Jimmy Kimmel's show?
Ooh, there might be a place for him there.
Well, the Armenian comedians are pretty big shoes to fill.
I know that. I realize that.
Yeah. In other words, you're funny, but you're no genius like the Armenian comedian. I mean, he's been touched by God.
I realize that, but I haven't prepared all my material.
I understand. We caught you off guard. Well, I don't know her phone number over there at Jimmy. Just dial information. You ask for a talent coordinator. Jimmy Kimmel Live. Hollywood.
I just thought of a new reality TV show,
mm-hmm.
which is Star Search, you know, or American Idol for comedian, American stand up,
yeah,
and all the crappy, you know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because I can watch that. I mean, when the Armenian comedian does his ventriloquist act,
yeah,
or when he plays with his band, it's unbelievable. All right, Woody.
But we saw how many bad singers will show up and not realize how awful they are. Imagine with comedy.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah, because singers, you figure people catch them and go like, hey, really?
Yeah.
You can't carry a tune.
There's nobody to stop the comedian.
No way. Yeah, got some solid Viagra material there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's get another call. And, yeah. So, Woody, she's lesbian. You're not. Find a new chick. Well, women love a guy with a sense of humor, Drew. Mm. Don?
Yes.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, last, on the 14th, this Valentine's Day, I got engaged. I asked my then-girlfriend, now fiancé, to marry me, and she's 41, and I think she has abandonment issues, and we keep kind of breaking up and getting back together, and, you know, I don't want to go through that again, and,
then don't. Sure. Get on with it. Find somebody else.
Well, if she's 42...
Never been married.
And she hasn't gotten over, or hasn't, you know, been able to control her impulses as far as her issues, it's gonna be tough for you. You know what I'm saying there, Don?
Yeah.
Has she been married before?
Yeah, she was married. She got divorced like a year before we met.
And has she had some trouble in the past?
Well, that's where I think it comes from. Her ex-husband cheated on her, and her father pretty much left her at a young age.
Yeah.
All right, well, now it's all in her. It's not all the outside doing things to her. This is about her now.
Yeah. So, Don.
She have kids?
Yeah, three. Oh. And they're great kids. I love them.
All right. Well, just know that she's got some serious issues floating around. She getting into any therapy or anything?
No.
You know any Viagra jokes?
You are 15 years her junior. 15
yes,
years. And so you don't want to have any kids?
She's 42.
He's 26.
41. 40. God, I should get that right, otherwise she's going to kill me.
14 years.
Well, listen, Don.
Yeah.
Don's got some stuff going on.
Yeah, what's going on with you, Don?
Well, I'm just working, trying to get my finances back, get them together, and going to school and...
Uh-huh.
Really trying to get to be a place where I'm successful.
Right. She got a house and a car and stuff?
Well, she's got a house that she leases from her ex-husband so that she can have a stable place for her family.
Uh-huh. Is she okay? Does she work?
She works. We both work. Don't do drugs. Drink too much.
All right. Well, look, Don.
Boring.
Don't rush to the actual marriage part.
Yeah.
You asked her to marry you. You got engaged. That's fine. But keep in mind that she's going to need to do a little work on herself.
Oh, boy.
Why? What's the problem?
Three kids. 26-year-old stepdad.
Yeah. Well, what do you want? I got a stepdad who's, my stepdad is like 15 years younger than my mom.
Really?
I think so. I mean, I try not to talk to anybody, so I don't know. But, yeah, my mom is like 69, 70, he's like 55. Yeah. Yeah, he's quite a bit younger than my mom. I mean, they got together 25 years ago or whatever it was. Holy Christ. He could have been
35.
He could have been 30, and she could have been 50 or no, not 45. 50, like 45, something like that.
All right.
Whatever. It's all
still
something
in their 30s.
That was we got to take a break. I was talking, we like to laugh about how cheap your dad is and what screw ups my parents are and all that kind of stuff. And listen, I've said it many times. People are like, "Well, what are you bagging on your parents for?" And you're on the radio. Hey, kiss my ass, you screwballs. Yeah, it's time to pay the fiddler. I got no problem with this. Bad parents. You roll the dice. You don't think the kid's going to make it on the radio? Well, he's got a mic now. What do you guys care? You're asleep. You don't have any friends. No one talks to them about anything. I say whatever I want about anybody in my family. No one ever talks to them.
Uh-oh.
But so here's the good news. My dad, I remember, I don't know, I had this thought, he used to get records from the library, and they would melt in the car. I would always forget and leave them in the car, and they would get all warped. But I was sort of fixated on the warping of the records.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking to myself, you know, he was well into his 40s when he was going over to the library to get the records. You want to know, you want to think loser? And Drew, you talk about your dad's cheap, but think real cheap. Think going to the library and checking out records. And does that go on? I mean, wouldn't you think it only happens to disabled? Like that's wouldn't that be a special program for the mentally challenged or physically handicapped that you would rent?
It'd be like a school
get
trip
records. Yes, records from the library.
Yeah.
All right, those are the Corollas. Hey, everybody, Loveline. What's up, say? Blah, blah, blah. All right, let's get some calls in here. Drew, what do you say now?
Fair enough.
Let's talk to Sean, who's 25. Sean?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey there, buddy boy.
Here's my situation.
Mm-hmm.
About a year ago, I had started dating this most beautiful Latina girl.
Mm-hmm.
And about a month into the relationship, we started having sex.
Mm-hmm.
Now, about a month after that, we started having sex a lot. Talking 3, 4, 5 times a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I started noticing that I was breaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
must be allergic to her.
Well, I hope not. In my high school years, never really had a problem, you know, with acne, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent about 6 years in the service. So as far as my sexual activity, you know, it was a non-existent.
Right. Right. All right. So are you asking where this acne is connected with the sexual activity?
Well, I kind of want to say that I know it is,
mm-hmm.
but I'm...
How?
Because I started catching on to it this summer, and I got to the point where I wanted to, like, not have any sex for, like, I put it as weeks. There was one point where I didn't have any sex for 2 weeks, and I wasn't breaking out at all. So I made the connection that they were connected, because then I started having sex again, like slowly. We'd mess around and have sex once a week, and then it just started happening.
Well, I don't want to take issue with a little case study of one, but I don't know of any association or how it could be connected physiologically. It just doesn't.
What if you decided that it was? I mean, so much of acne is sort of a lot of it is sort of stress and
yeah, some of it's position. It's a bacteria and it's hormones. I mean, maybe it's testosterone.
Well, that's what I figured. Hormones.
Yeah, maybe he's one of these guys whose testosterone levels really respond to sexual activity, or maybe he was so deprived before those levels were falling off.
All right, so
there's something to that.
All right, so what should he do, Drew?
Get some Retin A and try benzoyl peroxide maybe to start with, and treat the acne.
Yeah.
Go see a dermatologist. Don't.
Hey, you know, I'll tell you, Sean, almost nothing works that you can go buy at the drugstore for anything without a prescription. Like all that crap, that cortisone cream with 0.00000% of nothing, all that crap.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what does work. Two things that work. NyQuil works and Oxy-10.
Well,
get that 10% benzoyl peroxide and you spread it on every night.
But if I don't, I only have one girl, and if I don't have sex
for
2 weeks, then it's good. It's fine.
Yeah, Sean.
Would you shut up and listen to what we're telling you, you idiot?
Get your acne treated, all
right? We understand. We believe your story about the zits. Go get some treatment.
All right.
All right, buddy. Good start. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Don't squeeze on them. Don't squeeze on them. Don't monkey with them. Just dab on some of that Oxy-10 before you go to bed, all right?
All right.
And then you can stick a pin in it later on. That's my move.
Then the Retin-A type creams are good. And or antibiotics.
Now, what's the Retin-A type cream? Are they really stronger than the benzoyl peroxide?
Yeah, it's different. Different mechanism. It changes the way the follicle functions. Different.
So you dab on some of that... dab on some of that Oxy-10 on that zit. It really does a number on it.
Good times.
And don't monkey with it.
Right.
Don't monkey. Jackie?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, hey. Yeah, you're 19. What's up?
Well, me and my boyfriend have just moved home from college about 6 months ago from last year. And we've been having some issues. I seem to be a little bit more sexually energized than he is, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
And he's 21, and we've tried to come up with solutions because we both live at home right now, trying to save money.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't want to do it as much. And I mean, we tried the hotel.
What does he want to do?
What does he want to do?
Oh, don't, Jackie, first of all, stop thinking like a woman. You're, this idea that we're going to have a special place to do it will entice him? No, no, no. No, that's not how guys function.
Oh, I don't care. I do it in his car, wherever. He just doesn't even, like, say anything or think of it or anything. He, like, never wants to do it anymore. I'm always, like, initializing.
How often do you want to do it?
All the time. Anytime I see him. I don't care.
And how often does he want to do it?
He never mentions it.
Mm-hmm. Well, if he had his druthers, how often would it be? What's his rhythm?
She doesn't know because he never
gets down.
When we were in college, we would do it like 8 times a day.
Right.
And now it's like...
down to like 6.
No, it's like nothing, like twice a week.
Twice a week. Uh-huh. Twice a week, you know, is a normal rhythm.
How long have you two been together?
For about a year, almost and a half, like 16 months.
Yeah, that may be
about the time the guy, the snow globe settles with the jizz blowing around and settles into the town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The jizz settles on the roofs and all.
It's quaint.
Are you saying it's normal or not?
That's a normal rhythm for an average male.
Oh, and phew. Yeah. I asked him if he was gay. I got really scared.
No, average couple is not even twice a week.
Well, also it's a little more usually.
It's about twice
19
a week.
And 21, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you're riding on the guy a little bit too and ask him if he's gay, it can stymie him a little bit.
Guys get a little flipped out when a woman is too aggressive and to initiate too much too often. They shut down.
Let me explain.
Plus, he's run dry. I mean, she's just, you know, worn out.
Well, you know, I'll tell you how guys respond to women, you know, wanting to know what's up. Why aren't you horny? Are you gay? Why don't you like me? They respond the same way women respond when you honk the horn behind them.
Yeah.
When they're not turning a goddamn car when they should be turning right. They're like, huh? What? They get frazzled. They look in their mirror. They don't do what you want them to do. You think it's going to work? It backfires on you. It's same with the guys with what's wrong with you? You're not into me. Are you gay? They end up they shut down.
And then her answer is, well, we'll get a hotel room. Have a romantic. No.
Well.
No, but the guy doesn't respond to that.
Well, no. She was just saying she needed a place because they're both living at home. But the guy doesn't need to find a place when he's horny.
No.
Okay. So what does she need to do?
Well, you need to find out if she's a sex addict or anything going on there. If she can calm it down a little bit.
I don't think so.
Jackie?
Uh-huh.
Are you sexually compulsive? Can you control your sexual...
Oh, yeah, I can control myself.
All right, so here's what you need to do. Give the guy a little room.
Yeah.
Just give him some room. Take a week off.
Realize that his twice a week is probably his normal rhythm. It has nothing to do with how he feels about you. That's just his biology.
See the guy and don't bring it up three times in a row. Let him initiate it.
I've been talking to some people about it, so we've gotten to the point where, you know, it's get over it. But what do I do for myself? Like, toy-wise, you know.
Can you go 5 days without being stimulated?
That I'd say about...
Okay, use your hand then. Or go get a vibrator.
You think that would solve the problem and it wouldn't cause issues in the relationship?
I don't
Why would
know.
It cause issues? It would relieve things.
Just take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, Jackie's like...
Whoa. Oh, yeah, he's like manic.
Yeah, Jackie's... You know what? And this is what guys do, by the way, too, is... Jackie's a little high strung and guys shut down.
Yeah.
They just, they become like turtles. They just pull their head and the penis goes up inside of them. The ball sack raises like landing gear and they just want to hide.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Let's talk to Steve, who's 18. Steve?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. I got this kind of fetish. I was wondering if it would.
All right. Affect. What is it?
like the sight of a girl who has to pay.
Has to pay? Oh, okay. Has to pee or is peeing?
No, has to.
A woman holding her urine turns you on?
Yeah, the body language of it. I don't know why. It's always been like that for like as long as I can remember.
Interesting.
Wow. Sort of the knees turned in and ankles out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the hands over the...
Yeah, the whole thing.
So sort of like
what?
Marilyn Monroe's pose as when she was getting her skirt blown up by the subway.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah.
My question was like, if like liking that would like affect a sexual relationship in any way, or if I could still just have like a normal sexual.
Well, what would you do? How would you incorporate that into your relationship? Like, honey, drink the 6-pack of Mickey's. We're going on a road trip. And all you got to do, by the way, no. Here's all you got to do. You're calling from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
You just come out to L.A. You have a couple of beers, you just drive around the Hollywood area, and no gas station will ever let you use their goddamn bathroom because they're all pricks. And so you just do that, and she'll have that look on her face the entire time you're driving around because there's no place to pee because no one will let you use anything.
You going to college?
That's my plan.
No, not right now.
Are you going to go?
I'm thinking about it. I want to be a bartender.
Oh, you got to go to college for that. Of course.
Sure. That's, what is it, 4 years? You get your bachelor's and then what?
I think you're pouring all those drinks for all those women. They're all going to have to pee.
Yeah.
They're all going to get up and go to the bathroom regularly.
You'd major in proof content and then minor in like pearl onions or something. Like, what? How much training is the bartending? You know, here's how you become a bartender. You start bartending. All right, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm all right. This is okay. You're fine. And unless you start freaking chicks out. But you don't want to see them pee?
I don't know. It's kind of like a bonus if, like...
Sure.
If they, you know, don't make it. But...
So if they lose their urine.
Yeah.
So interesting. I wonder what that is.
All right. You like, you see, you go on those websites and stuff, you see the women peeing. Do you like that?
Yeah. It's like there's all different kinds. Like there's a few that I know of. They're free, and they specifically like they specify in just the whole holding situation.
Oh, there's websites with just the holding it.
Yeah.
But what if you think it's staged? Like they're faking it.
I can almost tell. Like it's just weird. But like I don't know.
Really. And
human beings are so interesting.
Well, screwed up, I think is what you mean. Would you rather have a really beautiful woman who didn't have to pee or a semi-attractive woman who really had to pee?
I'd go with the beautiful woman.
Oh, okay. So you're not that into this. You're not dummy.
It's just like a thing on the side.
Yeah, okay. It's a little sideline.
You're no dummy.
Who cares?
Anderson, you don't think that was interesting? I've never heard of that.
But then he at the end, he's like, well, it's just a little thing.
Yeah.
Well, look, this guy.
It always does something for him, but that's weird and interesting.
He's not that much into his fetish. Yeah, but
I've never heard of that before.
Okay.
That's interesting.
All right. Drew, if you just keep saying the show's interesting, maybe people think it's interesting. It's a good point.
So interesting.
It's fascinating. It's riveting is what it is. Provocative, yes. Yes?
Yes.
Everybody, it's the Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there.
I think you need to have it out with your grandmother.
She's a good woman, Drew.
I know she is,
but
you have to have it out. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
What's the message?
I was telling Drew my grandmother did this one to me the other day. I talked to her yesterday, and she goes, I saw you the other week on Jimmy's show. It's a long beat, and I said, uh-huh. And she took a beat and she said, uh-huh. And it was like we're at a little stalemate. Like, oh, I'm a little confused because there's like a little compliment that usually comes in at the end of this or something. But why draw attention to it, too? That's what I was like.
There's something.
Just say you didn't do it.
There's some message that she's dying to give you. Something in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever the hell it is, you got to find out.
Well,
have it out.
Does your mother know the kind of work that you do?
90 years old, I'll leave her alone.
All right. Well, she's evoking you. She's provoking you.
Yeah, well, she just wants me. She wants to let me know that she's in charge and that, you know, she doesn't want me to get, she wants me to get a fat head.
Yeah.
You know, just keep me grounded.
Yeah.
I got to keep it real. Family's very preoccupied with that. Liz, ironically. It's ironic that my grandma's been in charge of keeping me grounded. Liz?
Yeah.
Liz, what's up there, baby? You're 29.
Liz? What was that?
Somebody showed me a GQ article today in which I'd made the officially made the C list of celebrities. They had a long list of celebrities who are now officially in the C group. Guys like Dolph Lundgren and myself. Yeah, thank you. And I thought, well, yeah, I mean, Jimmy's gone on to do something, but the new season of The Man Show aired yesterday.
And we got
a whole season left of The Man Show, and the new season of Crank Yankers is starting up in a week. And I'm still doing this show. I'm not doing anything less, I mean, as far as they know, than what I was doing before. Am I?
You went down to sea?
I think that was the implication. I don't think the idea was I was always at sea. I think the implication was that these people have slid to sea.
They're taking a shot at the Jimmy going on thing.
Yeah.
That's.
Well, I mean, how do you... they're entitled to their opinion. Yeah. I don't want to seem like I have a thin skin, but if I was doing the Man Show, Crank Yankers and Loveline, the syndicated radio show before, and I'm still doing the Man Show, Crank Yankers and Loveline, the syndicated radio show, how am I in the... How did I get into the C category?
Crank Yanker.
Yeah. Al?
Well, you say Adam.
Hey, you're 29. What's up?
Hey, I was going back to Drew.
Hey, Al.
Good.
Yeah, my little situation is a friend of mine, he went to jail about 9 months ago.
What for?
Calling it manslaughter. He got in a fight at a bar, and the guy he was fighting wound up dying.
Ooh.
So they put
just sort of the next day just died, and they blamed him.
He got hit by a piece of the space shuttle.
Yeah,
and
they blamed this guy.
It was within 24 hours, so there's certain laws.
So anyway, his girlfriend, well, he left her back home, whatever.
How long is he going to be gone for?
I think they gave him about 15.
Ooh.
How long do you think he'll do? Do you know?
I'm not sure all the details on that.
All right. Well, I'm sure this guy will get time off for good behavior. So now he's left his girlie behind, and you're interested in her?
Well, not only interested, but we were together Friday night and all day Saturday.
Damn, bitch! Oh. Well, okay, so... I'm all right with this, by the way.
Yeah,
I mean,
really, what are you
going
to do? Yeah.
But here's the question. I got a couple of questions. I worry about her because she was with this guy
who's a murderer.
Seems kind of violent.
No, I mean, he's a pretty decent guy, to be honest. But when he get a little alcohol and then when he's at the bar that night,
okay,
some people called him out his name and they got into a little fiasco.
Circumstantial, you know. But... he must have had a little... Well, maybe he just didn't have good representation, but he didn't have the dream team on his side. But he must have had some priors and stuff like that, right?
Probably a few things.
All right. All right, Al. You're a good friend.
No, that's what Adam's talking about. Why,
okay,
why
but what's her story? That's, I guess, my question.
Her thing is, and she wants to write him and tell him that, you know, she done hooked up with somebody.
Oh.
She wanted to tell him, you know, it's me. And I'm kind of like, no, don't do that.
Oh, this is what we're talking about with this woman. She's into drama, chaos.
Manslaughter the first time around and murder one, second time.
Yeah,
I'm wondering what's up with her and not what she wants to do. Here's what I'm saying, Al. I know women. And I know a woman who's attracted to a guy like your friend who's maybe a little bit violent or has trouble with alcohol or has had some run-ins with the law, that she's got some issues. She's got some issues. And those issues, you don't see those issues right now because you're in the honeymoon phase. Things are new. Things are fun. Things are fresh.
Right.
But I'm worried about you and her down the road.
Yeah. And his safety with this guy.
And well, this guy's going to be behind bars for quite some time. Does she work? Does she have kids? What does she do?
No kids, but she works.
All right. How old is she?
She's 27.
27, no kids, and she got a job.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I give the relationship my blessing. I think that if he's expecting her to visit him every weekend, she better tell him sooner than later, but I don't think she needs to say you.
She definitely, and she shouldn't say anybody. She should just say, you know, I need to go on with my life.
That's right.
That's it.
She said,
but look, she is prone to drama. And
yeah.
So,
my thing. She know, you know, I ain't trying to have no relationship. We just, you know, enjoying each other's company.
Yeah. Right. Well, listen, don't get her pregnant.
Oh, definitely not.
Have your kicks and have her say, look, you're going to be in here for 15 years. I'm a young woman. You know, I'm going to be having hot flashes by the time you get out of here. I got to move on with life. And that's fine.
Yeah.
Don't bring you up. You don't bring you up. Nobody brings you up.
Let's go to break.
Now, Jen?
Yeah.
16?
Yeah.
Wants to know what our opinion is on how to stop constant arguing with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Get a new boyfriend.
Well,
are you an arguer?
It depends on the situation, I guess.
Yeah, well, which one of you is sort of the drama queen, and which one of you is into the chaos, or is it both of you?
I guess it's kind of both of us.
All right, well, then you guys are just going to dance for a while.
But, like, we've been together for 5 months, and we've been fine for a while.
But just recently, these past couple weeks, like, we've been just not, like...
Yeah.
What are you fighting about?
Like, it's almost like he doesn't take me seriously.
Yeah, probably does.
Maybe he doesn't.
We just argue over, like, dumb stuff.
Well, maybe you sense him pulling away, and this is your way to sort of re-engage him.
I don't know.
Well, can you sort of stand outside yourself and look at yourself a little bit when you're getting into these things and see if you can catch yourself before you spin
and really
out?
And really rethink this relationship. Maybe this isn't what you think it is.
If you're going at it after 5 months. All right. Drew, sneezing.
Yeah, sorry.
Well, you're pressing the cough button.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you got to cough. There you go. Yep. That's the show. Tomorrow night, more of the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. What a relief.
Whew. Maybe I'll bring in that GQ list. Find out who else made the C celebrity. Drew, you're not even on there.
Oh, I've never made it.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Yeah, it's good and bad.
It's both. Yeah. Yeah. Mostly bad.
Yeah.
Mostly. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
Human beings are so interesting.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.